And good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you from, it was a beautiful day at the Radio Ranch today. Today, August 2nd, 2018. Can you believe August is here already? Summer in full swing. Here we are. We sure know it. The drought map. Oh, the Southwest is burning up with heat. The West is burning up with fires. Storms back east. Oh, it's wintertime right. It sure is. But it's been a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. And kind of hazy. It's been kind of hazy the last couple days. I think we're getting a lot of that smoke that's coming in from the west. And so it's playing havoc on people with allergies and people that have trouble breathing, that's for sure. So we're going to have a few scriptures for you tonight and a couple of current events that have come across my desk this last couple days, this last week, that I think all kind of tie together with a verse out of Deuteronomy. So I think we'll start with that, but we'll do that right after a word of prayer. So join me, won't you? Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word that you have given us is true. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the wisdom of your word, Lord, the foundation that we can build our lives and that this ministry is built on, Lord. The foundation of your word that you, Lord God, are almighty. You were in the beginning and you will be beyond the end. And that, Lord, your son, Jesus Christ, came to walk this earth as a man, the great I am, who was also in the beginning with you and who will be with you after the end. And he walked this earth as a sinless man so that he could understand what it's like to live here but yet be sinless. And we thank you for that. And thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that Jesus, that you did that. And that you willingly, for the joy set before you, went to the cross to take my sins, our sins, to buy the field, Lord, for your treasure. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that the eyes and the ears of the people in this land would be opened to your, well, to what you did and to your biblical plan of salvation, Lord. That's our prayer. Lord, help us to continue to gain wisdom and knowledge and discernment from your word and from the leading of your Holy Spirit. Protect us from all harm, from all evil. Let all that we think, say, and do glorify you, Lord Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Bible reading, going to get to that a little bit. Hebrews 13 and James 1, read that this morning and a little bit before the sun came up. And oh, it's a great one. Some nuggets in there, that's for sure. But for tonight's broadcast, I wanted to go back to Deuteronomy and just read through a couple of verses because we are, like never before, we are seeing this occur. And I think we have some current events to share with you tonight that just show this very thing. And so Deuteronomy 28, we'll start here in verse maybe 27 and read just a few verses. But it says, "The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors and with the scab and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness and with bewilderment of heart. And you will grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness. And you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually, with none to save you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man will violate her. You shall build a house, but you will not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you will not use its fruit. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will not eat of it. Your donkey shall be torn away from you, and will not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you will have none to save you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and yearn for them continually. But there will be nothing you can do. A people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors, and you will never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. You shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see." There's more to read there in Deuteronomy 28, but those thoughts came to me today in looking through these current events that I want to talk to you tonight about. And when you look at it from the outset, things look a little better. I know that sounds like some doom and gloom, and we'll come back to that. We will. But I have a couple things as far as when you look at the economy, the numbers, when you look at the economy, they really, they look pretty bad. I mean, pretty good, actually. They do. You know, second quarter of 2018, had this email from Brother Robert came in just this past week. You know, second quarter, GDP is up over 4%, and we haven't seen that in years. Wages are up over 3%. We talked about that just a couple weeks ago at on our scriptural review of the news, how many wages are up for many non-college degree jobs. Jobs like in the railroad industry, whether it's repair or working on the tracks or train engineers type thing, welders and electricians and plumbers and HVAC, jobs like that, heavy equipment operators, construction supervisors, things like that, that wages are up. Those jobs are growing and increasing, and they're paying more. Inflation holding about 2%, export growth in with all these tariffs that President Trump has put on. Exports still growing about 9%. Now go figure that one out. How come you don't hear about that all the time? But that's what the numbers put out. You know, the wage is increasing faster than inflation year over year. And that's been 2 years that's done that. First time in the last, 12, 14, 16 years since George W. Bush was president. The first time that wages have increased faster. Unemployment is down around 4%. It's been reported, and I've seen this in several places, although not MSNBC, but it is the lowest employment rate for blacks and Hispanics ever. Ever since we've been keeping records. More people are back to work. More people are off the government tit, off the government payroll, off of SNAP and food benefits and things like that. It's better. It's things are a little bit better. And so, not to knock those things, but with these things happening, they give us an opportunity. But it can't be an opportunity to turn away from God. It can't be an opportunity to sin more. It can't be an opportunity to sit back and just drink beer on the couch and watch TV. No, it gives us an opportunity. If you look at our Bible reading today, and I'll come back to it, but let's take a look at our Bible reading today. And it says in Hebrews 13:16 says, "Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." And when God gives better times like he's doing now, now we read that in Deuteronomy 28, and I've got some headlines that I think tie in with that, but also when God gives better times, when the economy is better, when wages are better, things like that, then he expects us to not grow weary of doing good. He expects us to continue on like we read here in today's Bible reading, Hebrews 13:16. "Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." And so, if nothing else, he's giving us an opportunity to practice in the good times. When food prices are somewhat moderating, at least they're not skyrocketing like they were a couple years ago. And wages and jobs and things like that, the economy is up. And so we should be thankful. It is an opportunity for us to be that way, to be thankful we have good paying jobs, to be thankful that we have enough money to buy food. And then also to not neglect doing good and sharing those things. Doesn't mean we have to give all our money away. No, not at all. But it gives us an opportunity to be cheerful givers. It gives us an opportunity to open our eyes to the needs of others around us that might not be, well, that might not be as blessed, that might not have had a Christian family to raise them. Maybe they haven't had a church or a pastor to teach them truth. Maybe the Holy Spirit hasn't opened their eyes. And so it gives us an opportunity, these good times, these better times, to be a better cheer, to certainly have a smile on our face, and to not neglect doing good. As James 1:22 says, it gives us a chance to prove ourselves doers of the word and not hearers who delude themselves. And so, you know, in verse 27 of James 1, it tells us about what religion is. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And so we are to consider the needs and of others, to share one another's burdens, and to keep ourselves from the world. Now, sometimes that gets a little harder as well. When there's more money for liquor, when there's more money for whatever, sometimes that gets a little harder. But we are still to do that, to keep ourselves unstained, it says, by the world. And so we must do that. We must do that. And so just a couple of quick notes here, thoughts that occurred to me when I was reading this morning. Hebrews 13, verse 8 said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And truly He is. And we know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. And so we see and we read in other places that God does not change. And Jesus Christ is God. And He has not changed since before the beginning. Nor will He change after the end. It is still His way. His ways are right. His laws are correct. They apply. And if there's a problem with it, it's with our understanding of it. It truly is. It truly is. And so I just some quick thoughts on that. And so I want to get in a couple of current events. These things popped across my desk. Saw this, said, and it does kind of bounce back and forth. You see good news and you see bad news. And I think that, again, we have that. That's kind of like how scriptures are. They'll tell us, oh, the woes. Woe is the man, or don't do this. Beware of this. But then the next verse you get good news. And so hopefully this broadcast is going to be kind of that way, because we've seen the good economy. Well, number of Americans living in their vehicles increasing as the middle class continues to disappear. Got this in an email just yesterday. And said apparently homelessness, especially out in the California and in some of the heavier metro areas, Seattle is reporting a 46% increase in the number of people sleeping in their vehicles just in the past year. And you know, I can attest to this. I have seen this as well. Now, here in Laramie, in the wintertime, you don't see many homeless. When it's 20 degrees outside for 2 weeks straight, and there's a wind that comes out of the west about 18 miles an hour that's constant, and you have a wind chill about zero, you don't get a lot of people walking the streets. You just don't. But boy, when it warms up, we see our few. Not that we have a lot, certainly not like we see down in Colorado, certainly not out like we have in more milder and more temperate climates. But we see a few. And since it's warmed up, spring has gone into summer, and one thing I've noticed is up the road at a kind of between a business and a little strip of trees, a camper is set up. And it's a Class C, you know, the motorhome front, but the camper back, and it's got this tarp out like it was set up at a campground. But there are some people that they are not vacationing, and I've seen them, two or three children, and they look pretty, they're well fed, but they look like they're homeless. You know what I mean by that. I don't mean it negative. And I've kind of asked, and haven't heard of a need there. I think they're just trying to stay as private as they can. But they're homeless right here in Laramie. And so I when I saw this news article, it kind of hit home because I've seen the very thing, people sleeping in their cars, sleeping in campers, and not camping. But places like Los Angeles, Portland, San Francisco are just, and Seattle are just, you know, affordable housing is tough. It's tough. Had a report even from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, many homeless sleep in their cars, even through the winter. And of course that can be dangerous. Said here a report from, the Dakotas, 25% of the nonprofit Sioux Falls clients have lived in their vehicles at some point, and that number is increasing. It is. Cost of living going up, I can sure attest to that. My son and his bride just bought a house down in Colorado, and they've been looking for a year and a half, have bid on several houses, but it's always a bidding war. And they end up going for $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 more than what they were asking, and it's because it's a ended up with in a bidding war. Had a story here about a couple in California, teachers that earn $69,000 apiece, and said here in where was this at in California, a 1,500 square foot starter home costing $680,000. That there's no way they can afford that. We're seeing that down in Colorado as well. The prices are skyrocketing. Now I know that they aren't as bad in the kind of down in the south and back in the southeast, and that's good. But that is what we are seeing. Had a deal here, living in the middle class life, 30% more expensive than it was 20 years ago. 30% more. So that's paying, you know, $1.30 instead of a dollar, or $130 instead of $100, or $1,300 instead of $1,000. Maybe for a washer and dryer. Maybe you go out and, you know, you find a nice new, if you save up and can buy a new washer and dryer that used to be $1,000 and now it's $1,300. And so we see that it just, continues. Child care. Right here in Laramie, they opened up a new child care down the road. $1,000 a month to have your kid in child care. I know people have two kids in there. Oh my gosh, how do they afford that? Oh well, one of them told me the other day, what else are you going to do? You have to work. Looks like diapers and toilet paper are going up as well. And so, you know, we see these things happening. Folks, when we see them, I think we do need to remember our Bible reading today, not neglect doing good when we see a need, when it's brought before our eyes. We need to pray that we have eyes to see and that our heart is not so hardened by sin and deceitfulness, and that we cannot see when there is a need for help. And so I just want to encourage you to make sure that you look, that you are looking, that you're seeing. We are abundantly blessed. We are. And I don't speak for just me and my family, but I speak for our church congregation. And I speak for our people here in this country that certainly work. We are to work, but that have good jobs, that are able to share, to do this, to share and not neglect doing good, and it says here, with these sacrifices, God is pleased. Now, no one's saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy to look upon, distress. It's not easy maybe to go up and ask a family if they need help. It's not easy to be able to, or to be willing to reach into your pocket and pull out some of your mad money, some of your money that you are wanting to spend on something else and help a family in need or a brother or a sister in need. That's not easy, but the Bible says with such sacrifices, God is pleased. We need to get back to that. Certainly we have to take care of our own families, in our own church and in our own friends. That starts first, but when we do that, we have to kind of look elsewhere as well. Be that light of the world, right? That salt of the earth that seasons and that makes better. We have to do that. I had a couple kids being raised just right down in Colorado. Don't know the families, but had this from a couple weeks ago, I think. Maybe last week. It says, while riding their bicycles, a group of Colorado children discovered a wallet with $700 in it. Instead of keeping it, the kids were caught on camera returning it to its rightful owner. And I watched. It was a little, three little kids. I mean, they weren't teenagers. One might have been 12, a couple of them 10, 12, and then a 4, 6-year-old, maybe it was on here. Yeah, Haley was 13, 6-year-old brother Reagan, and one other person down in Aurora. And so I saw the video. It was like a home surveillance. You know, that tells you a little bit as well, is you have to have home surveillance and video. People walk up, motion detector comes on and says, "Greetings, we're not home to help you right now. If you'll please leave your name and contact, we will be back in touch with you." Kind of like an answering machine. But it was on this guy's front step and a little camera there. And so when that comes up, the kids go, "Hey, we found your wallet outside or your car out by the road. We just thought we'd give it back to you, so I'm going to put it over here so no one takes any money or anything." And they kind of tuck, you see them on the camera, they tuck it off to the side, and then they take off, hop on their bikes, and off they go. And it was encouraging to me to see that. And it was, because I don't know these families, but see, there's still families, there's still parents that are raising their children right. These children were not in the home plan video. They're out riding their bikes, looking after each other, having fun. 13-year-old, 6-year-old, and there was one other in there. And so, anyway, it was good. It was good. I thought that was good. That, you know, it's a blessing to this man, to $700 in your wallet, and then it drops out of your pocket, or you drop it and you've lost it. Not only the cash of losing $700 would be pretty tough. That's kind of hard to recover from. But also losing your license and your insurance cards and your credit cards and everything else that so many of our people go through. We early on in our marriage, I was going to say in our career, in our marriage career, my wife and I, when my 28-year-old son was still just a little toddler, my wife had her purse stolen. She was in a grocery store, Walmart somewhere, with the baby and focusing on him, had her wallet sitting there. And, you know, we think that everything's going to be fine, that nobody's going to come, you know, have the whatever to walk right up and steal something. But she did. She had her purse stolen. And license, credit cards, checks, all that stuff. And then had fraud. Had somebody go to a store downtown in Florida where we lived and wrote a check and left her license and credit card there. Wrote a check for like $300 and said, "Oh, I'm doing this for my friend. Here's your license and credit card." And left that, got the merchandise. And then the police are looking at my wife as a suspect in writing this check, because we had closed the account out when her stuff was stolen. And so I know this happens all the time, from people getting things stolen, identity theft. It is part of what we read there in Deuteronomy 28, and that you'll be driven mad by the sight of it. And I guess if I had to sum up what some of these stories are about, that it would be insanity. Certainly not these children returning the wallet, but Americans, the most blessed, richest country in the world, and middle class living in their vehicles. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Had this other report that was just pure insanity that I saw. But I tell you what, you know, we could have a song. I've got an old Carl Klang CD here that we made years ago, brought some of the music off of his old cassette tapes. And, let me see if, I can get one to play here. I think we'll play this. Let me get a drink of water, and we'll be right back here coming to you live this August 2nd, 2018. What a summer it's been. What a summer it has been. We'll be right back.
America, America, is it too late to save you? Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the once God's word was your standard. How gradually you've compromised, how far you finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson.
Did you get that, folks? And I think there's a little bit to be said there about that CD skipping and hopping and jumping. Time for me to fix it. Might be time to redo that CD. And I know Carl Klang has redone some CDs and put them out. I'd ask you to keep Carl Klang in your prayers. Haven't heard from him in years. I've seen a couple things on the internet that he does have some, at least some CDs for sale. And yeah, this one's just a homemade one. It looks a little rough. A little rough around the edges. Might have to try to get it on the computer and fix it, update it, get it a refreshment. You know, I think that maybe that's what we need as a country, is not to continue down and just keep things as the way they've been, but maybe to do a little upgrade. It's time to fix things. Saw this. Talk about insanity and people going mad. So here's the New York Times. Basically just living out a double standard, because you can't talk, you know, we've seen it in the media. You can't be racist. You can't use N-words. Papa John's founder, John, I forget his last name, loved his pizza. I don't eat there anymore. You know, he's in a training group, and uses the word nigger didn't call anybody that. But use that term, that word, in referencing something from the past. He is just expelled, all but crucified and sent out. And you see that from, what was it, the tweet from the Major League Baseball guy here last week. I don't follow Major League sports a whole lot. I followed Tim Tebow more than anybody, and not a whole lot there. Had tweeted something 7 years previous, and they all but just, you would think he was just killing white or black babies. This ridiculousness. So the New York Times screams bloody murder anytime it wasn't too long ago that they came against a senator using the word niggardly, which just means in a bad way. Not addressed to anybody, but it's a word that's still in the dictionary. And he all but got run out of town. But it's okay for them to hire this chinky, this yellow-eyed, yellow-chinky thing called Sarah Jiang. Don't know where she came from, probably China or somewhere. Maybe she needs to go back. But it's okay for her. Here's some little quotes about her. Oh, some of the people that say this. Here, it says, Sarah is just an authentic writer, very funny, smart, and original in the way she uses Twitter. She has a tongue-in-cheek tweets. She's very talented journalist and the exact kind of brilliant, savvy person who should be critiquing the powers of big tech. These are some positive things about her. Okay? Hey, Sarah is cool, and people with hiring and firing power need to completely ignore this alternate right bad faith arguments trying to get people fired over imagined grievances. Well, this is the grievance. Here she is, an editor, I guess. I don't even know what she does there. Yeah, she joins the New York Times editorial board. She's the newest in a fab group of recent additions. And her big talk is that she doesn't want any, she professes hate for these dumb apple effing white people, and proudly puts it out. No problem. She writes little graphs that says whiteness and awful go hand in hand together, and they just they merge. And whiteness and weird dog smell when it rains go hand in hand together. Things like that. And so, this is supposed to be funny. How would it be if it was listed that blackness and awful went together? Or Chinese people, high yellas, these yellow ching chang wonky wonks that Sarah Jiang is? How would it be if that and awful went together? How would it be if yellow Chinese ching chang wongers or blacks and a weird dog smell when it rains were likened together? Do you think that would go over very well? I hear people needing crying rooms already. I hear somebody, Liwathia, turn the radio off. We can't listen to such discrimination. How would it be if this, these How would it be? Here's a quote she writes. She said, "Oh man, it's kind of sick how much joy I get out of being cruel to old white men." Now that's a quote from a New York Times editorialist, and you wonder, people wonder why the current administration is talking about the fake news and the trash that these kind of people put out? Now I firmly believe in a quote that's attributed to the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. And the quote goes something like this, that he said that he yearned for the day, he longed for the day, that the character of a man, that a man would be judged by his character and not the color of his skin. And I say amen to that. And we do our best here to, if we judge at all, it is by the character, by what we see people do and say, or not do and not say. And it is not by the color of their skin. And I would encourage everyone listening to me that is a biblical principle. That it is by what people do. Remember the scripture that says, "Oh, their lips praise me, but their heart is far from me." And that applies to every color and every race and creed. You can say anything you want, but it's how do you live? What do you do? Are you a doer of the word or a hearer only? We just read through Hebrews in our Bible reading plan, and so you get a good bit of that. And sometimes it's good for us to go back and look and just think and say, am I a hearer of the word only? Do all I do is read and hear it? Or do I do it as well? And so hear this Ching Chang, Sarah Jeong, some high yellow something, slant-eyed, filthy, left-wing turd. "Oh man, it's kind of sick how much joy I get out of being cruel to old white men." Well, how about if we said, "Oh man, it's kind of sick how much joy I get out of being cruel to old Chinese men or to old black men or something like that." See, you'd be crucified. You'd be destroyed. That's the reverse discrimination. Remember what we read there? "You shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. There will be nothing you can do." That's the promise of God in Deuteronomy 28. If you do not obey the Lord your God and observe and do all His commandments and His statutes, that these curses will come upon you and will overtake you. And praise God, His word is true. Thank you, Lord, that your word is true. And so we have this type of filth on the editorial board at the New York Times. And so what kind of news articles do you think she's going to be approving or disproving? Disapproving, I guess, to run in the New York Times. You think it's going to be facts? Or you think she's slightly biased because she gets joy out of being cruel to old white men? Maybe that's me anymore. I'm 53. I don't know if that's old or not. Here's a little tweet, the little number sign, whatever that means, about, blah, blah, cancel white people. And there's so many people some of her bosses. "We're very proud of the work that Sarah's done at The Verge, which reflects her brilliance and empathy for everyone around her. All of us stand by Sarah, digging for old, out-of-context tweets and bad faith to drum up outrage is bad for the news and society at large. But it's okay to bring stuff up that Major League Baseball players might have tweeted 7 years ago and then all but run them out of the league. That's okay." Do you see the insanity, folks? Do you see the insanity? Oh, well. That's kind of how it is. Here's a little more insanity. This kind of hits close to home, too, because we just got one of these things here in town. I don't go there. Planet Fitness. Just opened up in town here not too long ago. So, a place closed down, and And so Planet Fitness came in and all kind of workout stuff, non-judgmental though, you know, tanning beds, whatever, you do whatever you want to there, I guess. So out of Detroit, I guess, the Michigan Court of Appeals has ruled that a Midland area woman has a valid Consumer Protection Act claim against Planet Fitness, and that their representatives failed to inform her before she signed up for membership that the company has an unwritten policy allowing men who identify as women to use the women's locker room. Hello? So, do you think it's okay for maybe your teenagers or your daughter or your wife to go to Planet Fitness that at least you'll be, they got a big sign of judgment-free zone. That's what they put in all their, see, there's no judgment there. You come as you are. If you're fat, if you're overweight, if you're out of shape, that's fine. Come as you are. And we should be that way. We don't judge for those type things, about those type things. No. You know, you commend people for wanting to go and do better. Maybe wanting to eat better or exercise a little bit better. Take care of themselves. So, apparently she goes to the gym and she walks into the women's locker room and sees a man there wearing makeup and a wig. She said, I stopped right there in my tracks. It was a man for sure. Now you could just let your imagination run away with that. How she figured that one out. As he's standing there, probably in his birthday suit, with makeup and a wig on. She goes to the front desk to express concern. She was told that others had complained, but the facility allows patrons to use the locker room with which they identify. She goes on and said, you know, there should be something that they pointed out when I signed up. If you have male parts, you don't need to be in the women's locker room. I don't care what you are. And she says, I'm uncomfortable with you as a male in my locker room in my restroom. So she goes back a few days later and she's warning other females, hey, there's a guy that dresses up as a woman and he's parading around in the women's locker room. The corporate office of Planet Fitness called her and said she had violated their no judgment policy and that they had decided to revoke her membership. And so her membership wasn't canceled simply because she complained, but the way she handled the matter, the way she complained, the manner in which this member expressed her concerns about the policy, exhibited behavior that the management at the Midland Club deemed inappropriate and disruptive. I wonder if I could go there and if you saw something like that, if you could say, well, you know, I'm relating to Phineas right now. Okay? You know, patrons are able to use the locker room for which they identify. So how about if somebody were to go there and say, well, I identify as Phineas right now, and I'm taking a sword and I'm running it through that sinner, that filthy pervert that wants to be a perversion here in this. What would that be like? Well, that's what I identify with. I identify with Phineas, and that's what he did, so that's what I do. You know, these men, these its that identify with women, they do like women. They dress up in wigs and makeup, perverts. Maybe we need to identify as Phineas and take care of this out of the land. Come to find out, the man that was discovered in the locker room wasn't even a member, but he used the area on a few occasions to hang his coat and purse while he visited with a friend. It's ridiculous. Huh. I thought it was pretty ridiculous when I first saw this article. Just the wording in it, the way that these judges, that it's like, really? Really? you know, there's roads need paving. There's probably fruit needs picking out there. There's harvest needs to be done. There's people need help in the medical field. And we got all this time and lawyers and effort and energy and all this and all this mess, really? But it's ridiculous. This Planet Fitness is some left-wing antichrist judgment-free zone. You want to read about judgment? Let's read about judgment. We got a minute here. See if we can flip to it. I think it, you see a little bit about judgment, I think, in Corinthians. Let's look over in Corinthians. Maybe we can see a little bit. Yeah, Corinthians. Corinthians 11. And this, we use this at times with the, when we have our communion talk and when we partake of communion at church. Let's read a little bit here. Verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11 says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread of and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself." And off to the right, I wrote judge. Because that's what it is. When we examine ourselves, we judge ourselves. When we examine someone else, we judge them. We judge someone if maybe one of our children is considering a spouse or gets asked out or maybe just for a play date. We judge them. We do. Now we have to understand that when we judge, we will be judged the way we judge. So we understand that. And you need to understand that. That we do judge, but understand the way we judge is how we are judged ourselves. And that's why it says here, a man must examine himself. It means a man must judge himself. And in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. So see, we are to judge. We are to judge rightly. And what do you think rightly means? And I'll tell you what it means. It means according to the Word of God. It's how we are to judge. And we judge ourselves first. Verse 30 says, "For this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." And that means are dead. That's what it means. Now, if you don't like what that says, that's too bad. Get your Sharpie and just start marking it out. But that's what it says. And so if we don't like it, we have to change our likes and dislikes. Because this is what it says. For this reason. And that means but because people do not judge themselves rightly. And for that reason, because of that, because people don't judge themselves rightly, many are sick and weak and have died. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. See, what a glory, what a God we have that says, you judge yourselves. Here it is. You know, Jesus said he didn't come to judge the world, he came to save the world. But he says, my word, now, that judges. You go by my word. If you flip over real quick, looking at the clock, I think we've got time. Flip over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 5. And it says, "For each one will bear his own load." Okay? For each one will bear his own load. And so, see, each one of us have to bear our own load. And we are not judged. We talk about it in communion. We don't judge each other. We judge ourselves. Verse 31 says, "But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world." So let me tell you something. Planet Fitness, you are condemned by what you heartily approve of, this filth and this sickness. I don't condemn you. The Word does. By your actions. And this filthy pervert, Cormier, or whoever your name was, you are judged by the world, and you are condemned by the Word of God. That's your fault. You don't like it? Oh, you're led that way? Well, it's sin. So be it. The Word of God condemns your behavior and your actions, like it or not. That doesn't mean I'm going to come be the Phineas on you. That's not what I'm saying, and I'm not telling anybody else to either. The Word condemns, along with most out there in the world. we've talked about it before, but it just seems to be making sense, and people need to hear it. That, you know, in the parable, they asked Jesus, well, Lord, are there just a few being saved? That's back in Matthew. I don't know if we have time to turn back there. Are there just a few being saved? And he basically says, yeah, just a few. Just a few. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. The broad way. Broad way. The broad way leads to destruction. I encourage you, it's not on there, but I encourage you to read Matthew 25. It talks about the judgment there. It talks about the judgment. And so, we need to remember. You know, when Jesus said, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Oh, Lord, didn't we make churches in your name? And didn't we go to Mexico and build houses? And didn't we pray? And didn't we cast out demons? And didn't we do all this in Jesus' name? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness, which is sin. 1 John 3:4. You go take a look. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be told depart from me by Jesus Christ. No, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, like our pastor heard. That's my goal. That's my goal. So, you know, I will do things. I will make the sacrifices that are pleasing to God. I hope you will as well. I hope you do. Man, we're almost out of time. Goodness. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. Sorry I didn't get the phone lines opened up. I'll encourage you. Come in. Come back. Join us Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, and 9 a.m. on the East Coast. That's 6 a.m. for you California crews that aren't burning up. For Coffee with the Wranglers, we'll be here. We'll have the phone lines open up for sure Saturday morning. And that's our plan anyway. We'll sure pray that the good Lord sees fit to allow us to do that. But we do. I thank you for joining us here tonight. Remember, our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. We rely on your support to let these broadcasts happen, to make these broadcasts happen. We do broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on shortwave, on internet, on, you can call in on your phone and listen. And we do it because of your prayers and support. We thank you for doing that. God bless.